This is Alive with Joseph.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Amen. As we still standing, let's read God's word as we stand. Go with me to Proverbs chapter 4, verse 1 to 9. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 1 to 9. Proverbs chapter 4, from verse 1 to 9. I read it, says, "Hear ye children, the instructions of a father, and attend to no understanding. For I give you good doctrine. Forsake ye not my law, for I was my father's son, tender and only beloved in the sight of my mother. He taught me also and said unto me, let thy heart retain my words. Keep my commandments and live. Get wisdom, get understanding, forget it not. Neither decline from the words of my mouth. Forsake her not, and she shall preserve thee. Love her, and she shall keep thee. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore get wisdom, and with all thy getting get understanding. Exalt her, and she shall promote thee. She shall bring thee to honor when thou dost embrace her. She shall give to thy head an ornament of grace, and a crown of glory shall wisdom deliver to you." A crown of glory shall wisdom deliver to you. I want you to walk up to five people on my behalf. I want you to announce to them, "I have wisdom for this season." Now you go ahead and give Jesus praise, please. You may be seated. So we're looking at wisdom for this season, and under it, I'm looking at a title I put together called Wisdom for Distinction. Pastor Cordelia was teaching in the first service. What a glorious teaching. Let's give Jesus praise for her. May servant. Hallelujah. So she opened up wisdom for this season, and that's what we're dealing with. So, but I'm branching out into wisdom for distinction as I pick it up from where she left it off. Let me begin by saying the problem of life, you know, doesn't give you notice. They come on a daily basis and almost at every minute of your life. Now, this is the problems of life doesn't give you a long enough notice so that you can prepare not to fail. Now, if you and I don't act fast, when the problems of life come, we may end up with shame. Also understand that, you know, the problems of life doesn't exempt anyone. That is why solutions to the problems of life must be spontaneous. And you and I must be ready to proffer solutions to the problems of life, because the problems of life has no exemption. No one is exempted from the problems of life. And what wisdom does is to help you and I solve problems. Wisdom enables us to solve problems. You don't pray problems away. After praying problems, in the place of prayer, God gives you the solution to go solve the problem. He gives you the ability to go solve the problem. Why? Credibility of life is the ability to solve problems. The credibility of life is the ability to solve problems. The honor of life is the ability in the ability to quickly respond to problems by solving them. The honor of life is in the ability to quickly respond to problems by solving them. And I pray for you, by the time this service is over, receive grace to solve problems in the name of Jesus. I say you will leave this service a problem solver in the name of Jesus. Give the Lord your praise if you believe that this morning. What then is wisdom, you may ask? Wisdom is the ability to use your knowledge and experience to make good decisions. And also it is you being able to discern difference between people and moments. Wisdom is the ability to use your knowledge and use your experience to make good decisions. It is also you able to discern difference between people and moments. That is, wisdom is God giving ability to make good judgment per time. Wisdom is God's given ability for you to make good judgment per time. That is wisdom. Wisdom is knowing the right thing to do and you go ahead and do it. Wisdom is knowing the right thing to do and you go ahead and do it. Jesus puts it this way in Matthew chapter 7 verse 24, CEV translation. He says, "Anyone who hears and obeys these teachings of mine is like a wise person." Anyone who hears and does is like a wise person who built a house on solid rock. Amen. What then is distinction? Distinction is an act of excellence that sets you apart from others. Distinction is an act of excellence that sets you apart from others. It is a state of being being excellent in whatever you do. It is a state of being excellent in whatever you do. Is a state of being excellent in whatever you do. That is distinction. So wisdom for distinction, then, I'll put it this way. Wisdom for distinction is the ability to use your knowledge and experience to make good decisions in life, business, and career in order for you to become outstanding. Wisdom for distinction is your ability, is the ability to use your knowledge, experience to make good decisions in life, in business, in your family life, in career, in order for you to become outstanding. In order for you to become outstanding. Outstanding in business, outstanding in your career, outstanding in your life, in your family life, you become outstanding. So wisdom is very necessary. So wisdom makes the difference, and your ability to recognize difference is what distinguishes you. Your ability to recognize with difference is what distinguishes you. Distinction will make you worthy of special recognition. So wisdom for distinction is accumulation of wise decisions that sets you apart and places you at the top above the rest. I repeat, wisdom for distinction. Distinction will, you know, gives you recognition. And distinction is the accumulation of wise decisions that sets you apart and places you at the top above the rest. And I pray for you, may you be above the rest in the name of Jesus. I pray for you, you will be above the rest in the name of Jesus. That is, you are above the rest in your chosen field of life. You are above the rest in that office. You are above the rest in your industry. You are above the rest in whatever you do. That is, when we place you side by side with others, even if they are believers, but because of the wisdom of distinction, you are still above them. Why? Because being a believer doesn't mean that we all will be at the same level. No, there are those who must be above because of the application of wisdom or for distinction. So what are the wisdom factors for distinction? Number one, the wisdom factor for distinction is creativity and innovation. Creativity is the act of using your mind to develop new ideas. It is the engagement of your mind to develop new ideas. Creativity empowers you to break away from average. Creativity empowers you to break away from the traditions. It empowers you to break away from the status quo. It is to, for you, it is you allowing your mind explore ways of getting outstanding results. You are allowing your mind to explore ways of getting outstanding results in whatever you do. In whatever you do, creativity is not only reserved for the entertainment world. Creativity is in whatever you do. Whatever you do, whatever you're selling food, creativity comes in, because packaging is what makes the difference. Packaging is what makes the difference. You have creative idea of packaging scones that the other person, their own scones might be sweeter and better than your own, but because of the creative way you have packaged your scones, someone else buys your own and doesn't buy the other. Do you know the difference between Woolworths and other shops? It's creativity. It's not that they have anything better. It's the same, listen, it's the same Viennas you buy in ShopRite. The same, it's the same. But they have found creative way of making their own look like, even though it's Vienna, they make you feel that it's healthy Viennas. That's how they have made it. They make you feel that this Vienna, when I eat it like this, my body will just be. But it's the same. It's the same accumulation of different cuts of meat put together to form it. It's the same. But creative way of packaging it. So you arrive in Woolworth, you even feel somehow, you know, when you're pushing the tomatoes are the same, but the packaging, the creative way. So creativity applies to every area. Haven't you noticed, you walk into, you know, certain shops, you're confused. You walk into, I'm not advertising Woolworth, I don't have shares there, but one day I will own shares there. In Jesus' name, amen. And I'll buy their shares. Now, you walk in that place, you don't see confusion. They use only two colors. If they add another one, just green. It's white, black, and sometimes gray. But you enter some places, the place is confused, red everywhere, blue everywhere, everywhere. Your mind is everywhere the place. Why? Because creativity. So why am I saying that? I want you to understand, creativity is not only reserved for the entertainment world. Creativity in everything we do. So creativity is you not doing things the way everybody is doing it. So when you're creative, even in your office, when we're working, we can see creativity in your office. We can see creativity in your office. You know, when you go to Pastor Cordelia's office now that she's in, working on, my God, that place is filled with creativity. I even told her we'll switch offices. When you go there, you will think. Because the atmosphere, you can see creativity, you know, playing out. So creativity is also you not doing things the way everybody's doing it. It is you breaking away from the traditional norm. And you start doing things differently. And when you do that, you will start getting unusual results in whatever you do. So innovation is a product of creativity. Innovation is a product of creativity. Innovation loses its ability when creativity becomes dormant. Innovation loses its ability when creativity becomes dormant. That is, you succeeding in succession is a function of creativity. Succeeding in succession is a function of creativity. Understand that God has finished with creation. Even when you look at our God, you can see creativity playing out. You look at the fish, creativity. There are different kinds of fish. The way some of them are painted, the way they look so beautiful. You can see creativity from our God. And understand, He has finished creation. God has finished creation. Now He is waiting on you and I to use His creative ability that He has given to us to explore the earth. And we are seeing what is happening in our world today. The world, you know, you can see creativity all over the place in our world. Creativity in every area. So God has finished creation. He has put creative ability on the inside of us, and He wants you and I to use that creative ability to explore the planet earth. He wants us to explore the planet earth with that creative ability. The Bible is speaking to us in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 verse 9. The scripture says, for we are laborers together with God. You and I are laborers together with God. So we are the ones to create now, no longer God. You and I are the ones to create now. When you go to Proverbs chapter 25 verse 2, it says, it is the glory of God to conceal a thing, but the honor of kings is to search out a matter. Creative people, they are never static in life. Creative people are never static in life. They are constantly increasing their capacity by developing their minds. Friends, you and I must, you know, take the responsibility to develop our minds. We must take the responsibility to develop our minds. Let me give you an example of a day-to-day, you know, product that we use. God created the trees. Man, by creativity, made furniture out of them. God created the trees. When God was creating the trees, He didn't say, thou shall use the tree and make furniture. He never said that. He created the trees, and His creative ability in man took the tree that He created and made furniture out of them. Made furniture out of them. Made papers out of them. Why? Because the creative ability of God is on the inside of every one of us. God created, you know, furniture, and we made, God created trees, we made furnitures out of them. God created crude oil, and through, you know, refinery, man made out of crude oil 50 to 20 principal fuels and basic, you know, byproducts of it. We made principal fuels and basic byproducts of it. Through crude oil, we have 15 to 20 byproducts that have come out of it. And through petrochemical processing as well, the same crude oil have served as a raw material for 6,000 everyday product that we use. 6,000 every, do you know what that is? From crude oil. From the same crude oil God gave to man, and man has made 6,000, you know, everyday product. For example, the microphone in my hand is from crude oil. This microphone you're looking at is from crude oil. These speakers, they are from crude oil. That's what God gave to man, crude oil. Man has explored it. Man has brought up every day to day product, 6,000 of it from crude oil. God created the animals, the fishes, the spices, the plants. Man took it to creativity. We made recipes out of them. We made recipes out of them. There was nowhere God said, you know, right now, I give you shisa, I give you pap and flays, receive it. No. He gave us the animals, gave us the corn, and out of the corn, we make mealy out of it. Out of the animal, we have made, you know, flays out of it. Now we have a combination of pap and flays. We have 7 colors, we have 3 colors, because God gave us those products, and man, by creative ability, created, you know, something out of it. And out of that, today we are millionaires who are chefs. Gordon Ramsay is one of them, multi-millionaires. Jamie Oliver, multi-millionaires, who through taking what God created and they made recipes out of it, and today they are sitting on multi-million dollars, you know, because God will always, he gives us everything in raw material form. It is left in the hands of you and I to create. And some of you, you have an amazing skill in taking, you, we can give you 20 rand now. You cook the most amazing meal out of 20 rand. I'm telling you. The difference between you and Gordon Ramsay is, Gordon Ramsay decided to pay attention to it, but you didn't pay attention to your own. That's the difference. It's the same thing God has created. The same animals, the same plants, the same spices. When you look at the master chef, you see they just give them raw materials. They give them either chicken or anything. They tell them, make a recipe out of it. And then you see creativity kicks in immediately. Someone takes it and begins to make things out of it. You're wondering, wow. So you can actually bring out such a dish from just chicken. That's what happens with the creative ability God has given to. And I pray for you, let the creative ability of God in you find expression in the name of Jesus. I say, let it find expression in the name of Jesus. Let it find expression in the name of Jesus. Child of God, the list is endless. It is time for you to add your own to the list. Add your creative ability to it. The list is endless. It will be an error for you to exist on the planet Earth without something you have added to creation. It will be a waste of greatness locked up on the inside of you for you to exist without adding something to creation. In every field of life, you have to be dynamic. You have to be dynamic. And for you to be dynamic, you must be innovative. You must be creative. In every field of life. In every field of life. You have to be dynamic. If you refuse to be dynamic, you cannot. If you want to be dynamic, you cannot be innovative. And if you want to be dynamic, rather, you must be innovative and creative. If you refuse to be innovative and creative, you cannot be dynamic. It's not possible. When you do things the way other people are doing it, nobody will pay attention to you. The reason someone will pay attention to you is because you are innovative, is because you are creative. And in the place of being creative, you become dynamic. You stand out. You stand out. You stand out. And I pray for you again. Let the creative ability of God in you be released in the name of Jesus. I say, let it be released in the name of Jesus. So the seat of creativity is the mind. The throne of creativity is the mind. So let's look at how you can develop your mind for creativity. Number one, you develop your mind for creativity by connecting with the Holy Spirit. You connect with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the custodian of creativity. The Holy Spirit is the custodian of creativity. God didn't create anything without the involvement of the Holy Spirit, who is God the Spirit. He didn't do anything without the involvement of God, the Spirit. The Bible says in Genesis chapter 1, verse 2, the earth is without form and void. Darkness was on the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the water. Until the Spirit of God was involved, creativity didn't come into play. The Bible tells us in Psalm 104, verse 30, New King James Version, it says, you send forth your spirit, they created. You send forth your spirit, they created. The spirit there with the capital S is the Holy Ghost. You send forth the Holy Ghost and they created, and you renew the face of the earth. That is, if you want to be creative, child of God, involve the Holy Spirit. Involve the Holy Spirit. He will teach you what others don't know. He will teach you what others don't know. Listen, one of the reasons why we encourage believers to pray in tongues often is because in the place of praying in tongues, above you building up your most holy faith, in the place of praying in tongues, creativity is released. In the place of praying in tongues, the believer receives creative ideas. The challenge is the modern day believer thinks that praying in tongues is only, you know, a religious duty. But they forget that the Holy Ghost is the most creative being on the planet Earth. The Holy Ghost is the most creative being on the planet. When you look at the stars, the moon, when you look at the fish, I just mentioned earlier, you look at the animals, you see the creative power of the Holy Ghost at work. You see creativity. You see creativity. You see creativity everywhere. You see creativity. Hallelujah. The challenge is in this part of the world, we have reduced the Holy Spirit to only being the one who enables us to do miracles, you know. Now the Holy Ghost is at work, you know me. No. The Holy Ghost is at work also in the way you do your day-to-day job. I should be able to come into your office and see the Holy Ghost at work. I should look at the way you're running your business and see the Holy Ghost at work and say, wow, this kind can only have come from the Holy Spirit himself. Everybody give Jesus your praise this morning, please. Give Jesus praise this morning, please. John chapter 14 verse 26 says, but the helper, the Holy Spirit, the helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things. Not only spiritual things, he will teach you all things. All things he will teach you. All things that he will teach you is not only the Bible. He also teaches you in the things that you're doing. Things that you're doing in the natural, the Holy Spirit teaches you. The Holy Spirit helps you to know as well. He doesn't only teach you, he helps you to know. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 verse 10 to 12. But God has revealed them to us through his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things. Yes, the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of the man which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. There are things lecturers will teach you, but there are things the Holy Ghost will teach you. There are things lecturers will teach you. There are things the Holy Ghost will teach you. You know, when I was preparing my teaching, I had to look at the story of Dr. Benjamin Solomon Carlson. Dr. Carlson is a believer. Carlson became the youngest chief pediatric surgeon in the United States in 1984. When he took that job at John Hopkins Children's Center, at that time he was age 33. In 1987, 3 years later, he led a team of surgeons in his first known separation of co-joint twins. They were joined at the back of their head. And when you listen to him give that story, you can see clearly that the Holy Ghost was involved in all that journey. You can see the Holy Ghost was involved in all that journey. You can see the involvement of the Holy Spirit in that successful operation. When he clarified, you can see the Holy Ghost. No medical school could have taught him what he did. No medical school, no professor in any medical school could have taught him. You can clearly see the involvement of the Holy Spirit in Dr. Carlson's, you know, successful operation. You can see. So you and I need to understand the power of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit helps you to be creative and innovative. You must involve him, consult with him. There are things schools will never be able to teach you, but the Holy Spirit will teach you all things. There are things schools will never be able to teach you. And I pray for you, let your understanding be open right now in the name of Jesus. I declare your understanding opens up to great things in the name of Jesus. I pray for you, be blessed with an innovative and creative mind in the name of Jesus. I bless you with innovative and creative mind in the name of Jesus. Give the Lord your highest praise if you believe that this morning. When you look at the story of Jacob in Genesis chapter 30, in that animal breeding program that multiplied his wealth, you can see the Holy Ghost at work. You can clearly see that the Holy Spirit was involved in it, helping Jacob in that breeding program to increase his wealth while still working for his father-in-law. Friends, the Holy Ghost can help you increase your wealth while you are still an employee. He can help you. He was still an employee, but the Holy Ghost helped him increase his wealth. Increase his wealth. While you're still an employee, the Holy Ghost can help you increase your wealth. The challenge is you have too much confidence in your salary. That's the problem. So you're not allowing your mind to open up. You can still be increasing your wealth while you're working for your employer. And Jacob was a perfect example. He was working for Laban. And Laban had decided to cheat him forever. Laban is like the labor system we have in our world today. The labor system is not designed to help you. The labor system is designed to keep people in poverty. That is why at the end of every year, you know, CEOs are smiling to banks with millions and millions and millions of compensation given to them. Why the ones who are doing the day-to-day job, they can't even buy a loaf of bread at the end of the month. Why? That's how the system has been built. If you don't like it, create your own. Oh, you didn't hear that part. You're angry, create your own. So you must arise and say, no. No, I will arise. I will arise. I will arise. Because the system has been built. So while you are still with your employer, the Holy Ghost gives you creative ability to begin to multiply wealth. And I pray for you. You will multiply wealth in the name of Jesus. Receive wisdom to multiply wealth in the name of Jesus. Give the Lord your praise this morning. Hallelujah. So child of God, you develop your mind for creativity. You do that. You must develop your mind for creativity. And how do you develop your mind for creativity? Number one, by engaging in periodic quiet meditation. Meditation releases manifestation. From time to time, separate yourself to meditate. Separate yourself to meditate. You meditate to become creative. Number two, you also become creative by associating yourself with creative minds. Who you hang around with matters a lot. I can't overemphasize that. If you hang around gossip, you will just be creating gossip. That's all you'll be doing. Causing confusion everywhere. That's what you become. Man creates. There are those. The only thing they have created is gossip in people's destiny. Every gossip, your name is there. Why? Because you're hanging around people whose agenda and assignment in life is to be creating gossip. Who you hang around with matter. You hang around with people that, oh, the only thing you people do is to party. Every time, party, 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 party. My friend, that's the only thing you're creating. Creating party and creating pictures. Amen. The Bible tells us, Proverbs chapter 27 verse 17. Iron sharpens iron. So a man sharpens the countenance of his friend. If you are an iron and you hang around wood, you will not be sharpened. And the challenge is we have wood and wood hanging around together. So there's nothing happening. Your wood, your friends are wood. All of you are wood together. You're not sharpening anything. Iron sharpens iron. If you want to be creative, associate with creative people in your field of endeavor. In your field of endeavor. In your chosen field. Proverbs 13:20 says, he who walks with wise men will be wise, but the companions of fools will be destroyed. I love how the CEV puts it. CEV puts it this way. Wise friends make you wise, but you hurt yourself by going around with fools. Stop hurting yourself, friends. Stop hurting yourself. How do you develop your mind for creativity? Number three, be curious. Curiosity will make you ask questions. And it is in asking questions you receive answers. Be curious. How do you develop your mind for creativity? Number four, you do that by constantly going for knowledge. Knowledge gives you access to information. And information awakens the creativity on the inside of you. In the book of Daniel, chapter 9, I read verse 2, it says, In the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood by the books the number of years specified by the word of the Lord through Jeremiah the prophet. Daniel learned, and through learning, he was able to understand. He was able to understand. If Daniel didn't learn, they would have stayed in captivity. Let me give you the background of that story. They were in bondage, and God had made it clear that after 70 years, they will be released from bondage. So Daniel started learning. He went to learn by books. He opened and was learning. That was where he discovered that we are not supposed to stay in this bondage beyond 70 years. And by that learning, it provoked prayers. They started praying. And when they started praying, what happened? They were released in the 67th year. So they came out of that captivity 3 years earlier because he learned. Could it be that you have stayed longer where you are because you have refused to learn? They came out of that bondage 3 years earlier. While in the book of Exodus, they stayed longer in bondage. God told them 400 years, but nobody opened the book. Nobody prayed. Nobody did anything. They stayed longer, extra 30 years. So you can see the difference. Learning fast forwards your destiny. Learning fast forwards your destiny. I pray for you. Receive the appetite to learn in the name of Jesus. I say receive the appetite to learn in the name of Jesus. Muhammad Gandhi says, live as if you were to die tomorrow. Learn as if you were to live forever. Learn. Never stop learning. Not when you finish matric. You say, okay, I finished matric. You not begin. No. Matric is not an achievement. Forgive me. Don't be angry with me. It is not an achievement. Nobody will employ you with matric. In the world where we are right now, where those who have master's degree don't even have a job. How much more you with your matric? And you have... There are people who have stopped learning since they left matric. They've not, no new information have entered them since they left matric. No new information. It's 6 years now. No new information has entered you. Some of you, it's even 20 years now. No new information. And there are those who, the very moment they graduate from university, hasta la vista, when they throw that hat up, they've thrown away knowledge. And you're wondering why you're not moving forward. You keep learning. You keep learning. Learning is not only within the four walls of a school. Every day you learn. You learn every day. You learn every... Oh, my friend. Learn. Never stop learning. Learn. Never stop learning. I pray for you again. Receive grace to learn in the name of Jesus. I didn't hear your loudest amen. Give the Lord your praise this morning. Hallelujah. Learn. Never stop learning. He said, Mahatma Gandhi said, learn as if you were to live forever. Lack of knowledge can destroy your creative ability. The Bible says in Hosea chapter 4 verse 6, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Not because the devil has a new technology. They are destroyed not because witches are powerful. They are destroyed because they lack knowledge. Some of you right now, the challenge you have is a lack of knowledge. Oh, it's not a lack of opportunity, lack of knowledge. Because when you know, opportunities will look for you. When you know, opportunities will find you. And we live in a time where knowledge is free everywhere. I learned how to make coffee. My mother didn't born me as a barista making coffee. I learned how to make coffee by learning. I didn't have anybody tutoring me to learn how to make coffee. I learned every aspect of, you know, the coffee world by learning. And I make coffee better than many restaurants. They can come for competition. I tell you, they won't stand near me. And I'm not lying. Bring them, whoever they are, bring them. They will make their coffee, you won't drink it. But I make my own, you'll be looking for more. You won't even need sugar for my coffee. Guaranteed. And why will you not need sugar? Because there's a way you froth the milk that you don't need sugar for coffee. Actually, coffee was not designed for sugar. When a coffee is badly made, you must need sugar for it to help enhance the taste. Free knowledge. Hallelujah. If you want to be creative, go for knowledge. Go for knowledge. I pray for you again. Receive the appetite for knowledge in the name of Jesus. You cannot be creative in your chosen field without you reading and getting more information, acquiring more knowledge. The founding father of the United States of America once said, Benjamin Franklin, I read, he said, an investment in knowledge pays the best interest. An investment in knowledge. Creativity becomes dynamic when you are innovative. It is said, you know, I when I was preparing this teaching, I had to go to a couple of, you know, failed organizations to understand what was going on. Nokia lost their market in the mobile world industry because of lack of innovation. That's why they lost. Because they lacked innovation. In the early 90s, Nokia phones were the best phones. Most of you had them. were the best phones, but they were not innovative. They refused to accept change. Even when change was needed, they rejected it. And today, Nokia has become history. When change was needed, you could see them, you know, BlackBerry was coming up. BlackBerry came up and they took them. Even the same thing happened to BlackBerry. When BlackBerry refused innovation, BlackBerry has been phased out. Today, the market is run by your iPhones and your Samsungs and your Huawei's. And those guys are sitting tight on the market. Nokia can't come in. It's not a prophecy. They can't come in. It's not possible. BlackBerry tried to resurrect. They were buried again. They were buried again. Buried properly. Never to resurrect again. The same thing goes for wristwatches. The Swiss controlled the market for centuries until the Quartz crisis of the 1970s and 80s. They failed to adapt quickly to new, inexpensive, and highly accurate battery power technology that was pioneered by the Japanese brands like the Seiko. They refused it. They preferred, you know, to be winding the watches. They say, no, you know, this is the best way watches can be made. And as a result, because they refused change, they lost mass market dominance. They nearly, you know, the industry took the industry away from them. The Quartz Revolution happened in 1969. Seiko introduced the Astron, the world's first commercial available quartz. The word quartz means battery. The battery, you know, watch that uses battery. It was more accurate, cheaper to produce, and required less maintenance than the traditional Swiss mechanical watches. Those years with the Swiss watches, when it stops working, you throw it away. But when the Japanese came with the Quartz Revolution, when the watch stopped working, you remove the battery, put a new battery. The thing continues again. It became cheaper, became more available, inexpensive. People started rushing there. And they rejected the knowledge. They rejected the innovation. They dismissed it when it came. They say it's a passing fad. The Swiss stuck to their traditional craftsmanship. By the time they realized it, by the time they know their mistake, the Japanese and the American competitors flooded the market, captured the market. Today is history. Today is history. Watches have gone so much that even right now, 80% of the people on the planet Earth use smartwatches. Watches that can tell your heart rate, tell your heartbeat, measure your blood pressure. Watches that you can even use to measure your sugar blood level. Who has time to be wearing watch now, you know, that you're whining? Who has time? Even the Rolex watch. I don't have time to wear a Rolex watch. As expensive as it is, if anybody gives me a Rolex watch, I'll keep it because it will help me save money, because you can cash out with it in the nearest future. But other than that, it's a useless thing in my hands. When I can have, right now, I use a Garmin. It tells me everything. It tells me how many thousand steps I've taken. It as it is right now, I don't know what this is called. My heart rate is at 75. I don't know what that means. But doctors will know. That's how much is beating per minute, isn't it? You wanna have a watch, it only tells you time. The time is 1 o'clock. No, I ain't doing such watch again. What I need to know what's going on with me. Some of you are having the Apple watches. You're having the Samsung watches. You have the Huawei watches. You have the Garmin watches. Because that's the revolution the world has come into. The world has moved. My friend, move with the world. Move with the world. Give Jesus your praise this morning. Hallelujah. Today, the Swiss are nowhere to be found in the watch industry. They forced their factories to close. The shift caused a devastating industrial contraction. Hundreds of Swiss watchmakers went bankrupt. The industry lost tens and thousands of jobs as global demand plummeted for their watches. Some of you, if you don't start becoming innovative, you will soon start losing out of the market share you're controlling. Become innovative. Become innovative. As I said earlier on, you cook. Become innovative in packaging. Packaging is everything. Become innovative. Creativity and innovation are a match made in heaven. Be open to accept change. The challenge you believers are not open to accept change. Be open to accept change. Be open to accept. We live in a world right now where, if you know, the AI revolution, the artificial intelligence revolution, be open to accept change. Be open to accept change. I was shocked right now. I've seen that you can book a doctor online and they have everything done online right now. Be open to accept change. Because this is how my grandmother used to do. Your grandmother. Your grandmother. Even you. You look, listen to yourself. Grandmother. This is how ancestors did it. Your ancestors. Hallelujah. Be open to change. Don't be resistant towards change. Child of God, the world is changing. The world is changing. Don't let the change leave you behind. I pray for you. You will not be left behind. In the name of Jesus. It's time for you and I to adapt quickly to the change that is happening around us. It's time for us to adapt quickly to the change that is happening around. Even look at, you know, even the automobile industry as well. Look at it. What is happening? Now, the word innovation is derived from the Latin word innovae. The word innovation is derived from the Latin word innovae, which means to renew or alter. It represents a fundamental change rather than a passing creative thought. So to be creative, be innovative. And the most successful people in any field of life are those who are always looking for better ways to achieve more. Better ways to achieve more. I hope you know, the Apple industry were not the first who made the iPod. They were not the first. It used to be called MP3. They took it and revamped it and came up with iPod. That you could store hundreds and thousands of music. They felt, no. After a while, they came up with innovation where now music, instead of storing in iPod, they created the iTunes. Where every music you're looking for is there. And they found a way. They pushed it into your phone. They say, let's forget iPod. You don't need iPod again. Just take your phone. And as songs are being released right now, the thing is appearing on your iTunes immediately. For you to play. Access. Because people continuously. Innovation. The smartphone world. You and I know what is happening now. The creative innovation has become wild. When you look at the Samsung X26 Ultra. That thing can zoom into your destiny. Oh. That thing will zoom into your destiny. And look at your destiny. And see what is happening there. With that phone. With that phone, oh my God, you see, that phone, I don't even know what to call it. That's a, in fact, you can tell the phone to do anything, it does anything. The iPhone Pro Max, the Huawei Mate 80 Pro, all of those, the list is endless. You can take a picture now, and as I take a picture with, you all know that, but let me still say it. I take a picture with you, I can delete you from the picture. As if you never existed. That's why pictures can no longer be evidence. You can't trust it. I hope you know. The smartphones are doing that right now. With the AI intelligence, you erase somebody out of the picture. Maybe you used to be friends. Chomiaka. Now you're no longer friends. You just delete the Chomi out of it. Delete it out of the picture. Hallelujah. Look at what is happening. That goes for the automobile industry, as I said earlier. The innovation is endless. We have electric cars now, hybrid cars. The tech inside some of those cars, they are mind-blowing. The Chinese are flooding the market with electric cars all over the place. 5 years from now, if you own a petrol car, you will be considered, you know, people looking at you somewhere because it's almost electric cars. The Chinese are flooding the market with cheaper electric cars that you don't need to break the bank to own. You can open your car now with your phone. You don't even need a physical key again. You move, your car closes with your phone. You go close, the car opens up. My friend, the world is changing. I pray for you. You will not be left behind in the name of Jesus. So let's quickly look at how to be innovative. And I close here this morning. Let's look at how to be innovative quickly. Number one. Update yourself with the latest information in your field of endeavor. Update yourself. In your chosen field of endeavor, what are people saying? What are they interested in? What are their interests? What are their concerns and complaints? These questions will drive you to think of better ways to get results. Number two, learn from the best in your field. In every field, we have the best. Learn from them. Find out how they are doing it. Find out what is making them stand out. Find out how they are succeeding. Hear this. Anytime you want to learn something, never learn from an average person. I repeat, anytime you want to learn something, never learn from an average person. I don't learn from an average pastor. Forgive me. I have nothing against the call. The grace of God is on their life. But I don't learn from an average pastor. I learn from the best. Because for me to be able to come up at least to some level, I must learn from someone who is high up there. Someone I can look up to. Not someone I look down to. Never learn from anyone that is average. If an amateur teaches you something, you will become a premature. Don't let amateurs teach you anything. Amen. If you're going to learn from the best. Number three, genuinely evaluate your previous performance. Learn from your mistakes and improve. There is always room for improvement. When you are willing to learn from your mistakes, there is room for improvement. You can never make progress if you don't honestly self-evaluate yourself. When creativity meets innovation, productivity will be inevitable. Learn from your mistakes. Learn from your mistakes. Constantly make room for improvement. We constantly make room for improvement in our lives. Make room for improvement. Make room for improvement. Hear me, Mariana Williamson says this here. Every decision you make reflects your evaluation of who you are. Every decision you make reflects your evaluation of who you are. Amen. Every decision you make. Every decision reflects the evaluation of who you are. And if you do not properly self-evaluate yourself, you tell yourself a lie. The worst thing that can happen to anyone is to lie to themselves. That's the worst thing that can happen to you, is to look at yourself straight in the eyes and lie to yourself. And not self-evaluate yourself and tell yourself the truth. This is where I am. This is where I want to be. What are the things that I must do to get me there? If you're here and you lie to yourself that you're here, you will forever remain there. Because in your mind, you're here. But physically, you're there. And what we see is physical. We're not seeing your mind. You understand me now? We're not seeing your mind. We're seeing physical. Physically, you're here. But when you lie to yourself, you tell yourself, I'm here. And when you say you're here because you have wrongly evaluated yourself, you will not find a way to get here. And that's what people are doing. Wrongly evaluating themselves. Never telling yourself the truth. Never telling yourself the truth. Never telling yourself the truth. Hallelujah. As you're seated, I want you to, you're going to do this sitting. I want you to close your eyes. You're going to close your eyes. I don't know how old you are right now. I want you to add 20 years to your age. And look at, for example, I'm 51. I'll be turning 51 years this year. So I'm going to add 20, which means 71. So look at your 71 years old self. Will you be happy when you meet him or when you meet her? If you're 70, add 20. You'll be 90. If you're 18, add 20. You'll be 38. If you're 20, add 20. You'll be 40. Whatever age you are in, plus it by 20. You know, we often say when we have our birthday, God has added another year to me. No. You know, it's a wrong statement. God has not added another year. Another year has been minus from your life. I hope you know that. When you, each time your birthday arrives, is another year minus from your life. Not an addition. It's minus, because if you have 70 years to live, it's minus one. You're left with 69. So every birthday is a minus, not a plus. So all right, plus one. You should actually do minus one. And that's the truth. It's not plus one. Yeah, plus one because you're not having something. What is minus? You're celebrating. Hey, God has added. No. It's minus because if you have 70 years to live, like now, let's assume I have 70 years to live and I'm 51. I'm left with how many? 19 more years. And we all don't know how many years we have left. That's why you must live today as if it is your last. You don't know how many years you have left. Yes, we pray for with long life, it will satisfy me. But we don't know how many years in his program we have left. Now close your eyes. Look at 20 years. By then you'll be 70, you'll be 50, you'll be 30, you'll be 46, you'll be whatever number it is. Now, I want you to, will you be happy with that person when you meet that person? Will that person look at you and say, thank you for doing the things you did 20 years back? Or will that person look at you and say, you brought me to this state? That the things you were supposed to do 20 years back, you didn't do. And now here I am. That's why you need to listen to Pastor Cordelia's teaching. It builds up to this. As you have done that, I want us to rise on our feet. Whatever the answer is in your heart, go make a change. Go make a change. Whatever the answer is. I like the picture Pastor Bree put for me. Thank you so much. She looked at herself and could see the old version of herself. When you look, will you be happy that you made the right decisions? That your old self can look at you and say, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. That 20 years back, you did what you were supposed to do. In your health, in your finances, your health today, will you look back 20 years and your health looks at you and say, thank you for taking care of me. That I will not require any aid from anyone. With your finances, the same thing. With the way you're treating your finances, will you look back 20 years from now and your old, your retirement self will look at you and say, ah, thank you. That I can still live well in retirement because you made the right decisions. Lift your voice in prayers.
Thank you so much for listening. We believe you are blessed by the word. For more, please visit our website, www.alivewithjoseph.com, as well as subscribe to our YouTube channel, Alive with Joseph Mogocha. Till next time, God bless.